We know that in order for us to please God, Hebrews tells us that the only way to please God is through faith. And so then we get on to messages of faith, which we're going to next week in particular. Because we're told that what faith is, and that we should be believing and doing things to move our faith so that we can get new cars, new houses, new jobs. And I'm going to show you today how there's a system in the world that is seed-oriented. Okay? But that's not what God did. Because if we believe that God is, we have to believe He is, first off, and that He created the world out of nothing. He didn't have a jar of dirt. He didn't have a little box of rocks over here and say, I'm going to make a planet. And I'm going to spin it around the sun. And I'm going to tilt it at just such an angle. And I'm going to put a moon there. Out of nothing, out of this little box. He had nothing. He created it all with His words. And so we're going to establish that as well. But in Genesis, I don't want to get ahead of her back here. Oh, got to find my remote. But in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, we read something. That this is, by the way, after the flood. God has brought judgment on the earth. Because as He watched man, He said, it is true. Every thought is evil. Every thought. And so He destroyed the world. Broke up the continent. Did all the flooding. Thousands, perhaps millions. And if the account that I read was correct, a billion people died. Because again, we do not know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden, period. Anybody tells you that they know, find out what they're taking. Because it's not in your Bible. It's not in the book of Job, or it's not in the book of Enoch. It's nowhere to be found. We don't know. So, Noah spends a year in an ark bouncing around. I'm sure it was quite an interesting ride. By the way, did you know it wasn't a box? All the arks I grew up seeing were a coffin. Anybody else remember those? They were just rectangle coffin. And how does this float? It's because it wasn't. It was a boat. And God had showed them how to make it. There's some interesting things I'll teach on some other time. But at the end of it, they came out. Noah built an altar. He made a sacrifice, and it pleased the Lord. Wait a minute. That's why it's not working. Got turned on. I thought I had. And while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. First off, he's talking seed time and harvest. These are also seasons. Everything here is a season. We're getting ready to go into our cold season. We're in our harvest. But before you had harvest, you had to plant the seed. And that's the first thing God said. As long as this earth is here, seed will be planted. Seed will be harvested. And all these things will happen. This is the natural occurrence of the earth. And what we have to remember is everything we do is a seed. Okay? But this is how mammon works. Okay, I don't farm. And before I was a pastor, I worked several other jobs. If I could put in a few more hours, right? You know, I've got this deal with my family. I want to go, but they're offering me time and a half. They've offered me 50 cents more on the day if I will work this shift. But it's a shift that I will never see my children. you know how many people do that? They sacrifice for the sake of $40 extra at the end of the week. That, by the way, went to taxes. It's the way of the world. The world does this. You give me your life, and I will give you what I think your life is worth. Isn't that what happens? We're taking what they're giving because we're working for a living, right? That is how the world works. That is the God mammon. Right there. Give me your life, and I will rule your life. The boss calls. You know, I watch some of these shows I watch, and I'm like, it's after hours. If you don't do what I say after hours, you're fired. It's my life. Only one person, or only one job did I ever have that they had me after hours. And I made 75 cents an hour. That's what my military pay worked out to be. And that included all benefits. That's the only job. I had one guy tell me, he said, I expect you to run. I expect you to jump off that equipment and run. And I said, I'll never run for another man. You don't pay me to run. I said, and I will not kill my body just for to be stupid. I will walk across that, and I will not jump off of that. But we do it. We sacrifice. Well, I wasn't doing it for riches. Well, you didn't get riches out of it, but it's exactly why you were doing it. The truth of the matter is, here's what I'm going to tell you. There's things God said, and if people would actually start following what God said, they would be blessed. Just so you know, today is not the Sabbath. This is the first day of the week. Always has been. Do you ever wonder why Sunday appeared over here on your calendar and Saturday was over here? But the first church took the day to worship the Lord because Saturday was the day you were supposed to spend with your family. Not working overtime. Not picking up an extra shift. I get it. Stuff's expensive. But as long as people will just keep doing it, it'll happen. When I worked at Flexible, they told me, oh, you work Sundays, work Sunday. Now, mind you, I started working every holiday. And I was making triple time. That was really a lot of money. Especially when I just told a lady the other day, I said, you know, when I came back up here and started working here, I left a job making $5 an hour. And so, I mean, jumping up there, starting at 18, and at that point I was at 22, so triple time I was at $66 an hour. That was killer money. Guess who got it? Uncle Sam. And I remember one time before I'd gotten to be part of the union, one of the foremen came up to me, and nobody else had ever done it. And all the other painters had turned him down. He says, you want to work Sunday? I said, no. And he said, too bad. You don't have the choice. Okay. What he didn't know was that was my last week on probation. He came back next week to try it. Got a little different story. I never worked a Sunday except for that one. That company went bankrupt with 2,000 buses to build at $250,000 each minimum. Government subsidized, by the way. Where did greed get them? Where did all those people that spent all their years working hard? The lady I was talking to, her husband, he spent 20 years to the day, she said. 20 years gave his life to that place. And when they raided his retirement, he now gets $200 a month. They cashed it out and gave me a $9 check. I went to McDonald's. That's all I got. For all the money they took out and matched, they gave me $9. Where would I have been in 20 years if I'd given that place 20 years of my life? We might not have been together. We entered the hardest time of our marriage at that point. Shifting home, we got a baby, postpartum stuff. I was entering into a whole new, I would call it almost a depression. I missed the Marine Corps. That's what was happening. I missed camaraderie. And if I had given him all that time, all my life, just so they could say, hey, we're going to steal all the money we said was yours. I can't imagine what that would feel like. And HPM, what happened to HPM out here? That was horrific. Should never have been allowed. Because I knew people, went to church with people. Oh, God, they're going to let us work. So they'd work. They'd work, 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 work. And then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, I just stole all your money. And it was legal. See, that's mammon. That's the god of this world. We give of our lives while thinking we're doing something good for our children and for ourselves. But the god of this world does not like you. The god of this world does not care about you. Now, I will say this, and some people are going to go, well, you can't have it both ways. Well, yeah, I can, because I don't have to be a part of one. I'm pro and anti-union. They have their place. Anti when they tell me who to vote for. Anti when they won't fire the lazy bum that needs to be fired. But, well, brother, you know, you got to work from sun up to sundown. Bible doesn't say that. Bible says you have 6 days to work. Take one off. Do not work. Do not do anything you normally do. And for me, that was a hard thing to get hold of sometimes, because when I'd work, you know, construction, well, I'd want to work on my house on Saturday. And I mean, come on, it's the date. But the truth of the matter was, it would have got done at any point anyhow. And that, you know what? That's what I finally figured out. It's going to get done anyhow. And I worked maybe three Sundays, but I didn't miss church for them. I came to church, and then I went and finished the job that I had to finish that day. But that was it. By the way, I was also the preacher on all three of them, so I had to be there at church. But it didn't matter. I wanted to be there. But you have those days. I admire the Amish for that. Do you know how hard that is? Because we like to spend money on Sundays. We like to go out to Amish country. Well, everything's closed. Anybody want a Chick-fil-A? I admire them for that. It takes a stand. By the way, they're billionaires. They pay for preachers to get away. Do you all know that? Berea College in Georgia. The largest campus in the world. 50,000 acres. The college is down here. You drive up through the college and go up onto this beautiful dairy farm. And it's gorgeous. And then behind it is 50,000 acres of woods, a spring-fed lake. And they pay for preachers every week to go up there. And they feed them 5-star meals. They've converted the horse stalls, and they had draft horses, so you can imagine how big the doors are, to private rooms with beautiful bathrooms. I mean, they've got millions wrapped up in it just doing that. And they do it, and it's a company that honors God. And they work in faith. They still work their business. They still stand with business. They understand business, but they honor God. See, the God of this world wants all of our time. Well, we got to work 7 days a week. Got to work 7 days a week. You know, I never understood that when I worked at factories. I worked in a couple. Okay, we suddenly get an order in and we have to work 7 days a week now? You've been sitting on this order for 6 months. We could have been working a couple days a week, a couple hours a week over. And by the way, working more than 10 hours is futile. Your brain is getting awful quiet in here today. After so many hours, you're done. And you need to learn to quit. You need to learn to rest. But no, we have it in our head, I got to work from sunup to sundown. Who said that? Your slave driver, that's who said it. Somebody who thought that working hard was meant you were godly. That's not, God never said that. He said, you have 6 days to work, and on the seventh, I want you to rest. Seed time and harvest is the natural order of things. It is what is in the world. The faith Adam and Eve and all who were on the planet then was severed. Their relationship with God changed forever. That was until Jesus. When Jesus came, he died and he rose again. He fixed and gave us the opportunity to live as Adam and Eve had lived. Not necessarily running around naked, okay, but to be able to live by faith. Adam and Eve's faith wasn't in that, well, we've got gold in the river, should we need it? Huh. There we go. I hit the button. I had it in my fingers. That's why I was like, everybody's looking at the... They didn't need faith for food. Do you understand this? Faith is not about your food. Faith is not about your car, your house, your provision. God took care of that. Faith was in believing that God is and that he will reward those who diligently seek him. You know, to be diligent means you just got to be on it. How many of you have ever gotten a question or something stuck and you just got to find that information? You got to look, you got to search. And before the internet, let me tell you what, that was difficult. And with the internet, you got to be careful. Especially with Wikipedia. Anybody can comment. We have to be diligent in seeking God in all things. God, I love you. What about this? Well, ask him. You have to ask God. People want to come to the preachers and they say, well, you know, Pastor, I want to know about this. We don't have magic eight balls. You know, are they going to succeed in life? Maybe not. Well, you don't want to hear that, so the preacher lies to you. You and God are the only ones who can determine that. Your parents riding your back can't make you succeed. Your parents not riding your back won't make you succeed. Only you and God. And the closer you get to God, the more successful you will be. It has nothing to do with education. It's great. We have to have education, right? You have to learn something. I didn't know diesel mechanics until they put me in a school to do it. I didn't know how to shoot an M16 until they put one in my shoulder and said, here's how you shoot it. At that point, the biggest thing I'd ever shot was as far as rifle, was a .22. M16's got a little more butt behind it. But it took education. But now we're telling those who are educated, they're not educated enough. They need more education. Why? Because the colleges need more money. They need you in more debt. I know one nurse who's said, if they require a master's, I'm done. I am not going through any more schooling. I'm done. Why do you need a master's degree? You've gone through this, you know, how long were you, 30 years? How long were you a nurse?
29 years.
Okay, 29 years. I knew it was in that neighborhood. You know, after 20 years being a nurse, and they came and said, we think you need more education. You just don't know what you're doing. Yeah. You look at him and say, are you smoking crack? Do you know what all I've done? The hands-on experience is more. And the things even in Motor T school that we went through a short class. I mean, it was 6 months long for the class, but they said the things we didn't teach you here, you're getting OJT, on-the-job training. And what we learned is we went out in the field, we went out in the fleet, and we found out the things they taught us in the class, ignore most of it. Because it takes too long, and when you got bullets flying, you don't have time to do it that way. Fix it this way. We could do it. We learned it a different way. But the world wants you to keep doing that. Why? Because God knows that in the day that you eat of that, you will become like Him, knowing. That's why God said wisdom is better than knowledge. You can be wise and be dumb as a rock. And you can have all the doctorates in the world and be a moron. You know, I will say this about that guy who built the castle. It was an amazing castle, but again, he held 7 master's degrees, 3 of them in engineering. What he did was phenomenal. But when he stomped the fire out, he didn't go to the hospital or the doctor with those third-degree burns. Then when he got gangrene, he refused to let him take the leg off. Well, my life is over. I can't build my castle. He could have continued directing it. Oh, by the way, my grandfather fathered 5 children without legs. Obviously, you don't need them. He farmed without those legs. He figured out how to drive a standard without those legs. So don't tell me that your life is over just because something came your way. When you become so wrapped up in something and so smart, we get kind of stupid. It's kind of like what's happening in the world right now with a lot of this stuff. Now, so planting a seed does not require faith. It doesn't require faith on our part, right? I'm going to use sunflower. If I plant a sunflower seed, I know, unless that seed is garbage, that's the only thing I don't know, that seed is going to produce a sunflower plant. Because it's the way God made it. It will do what it's supposed to do. Faith is not required for the things of the world. It doesn't require faith to get up at 3 a.m. and go bake the donuts, right? You just get up and you go and do your job. And then you drag your butt back to bed and you get back up at 3 a.m. and do it again. And then you do this again. And then, you see what I'm saying? There's no faith required in it. But if you listen to God, God will provide. Adam and Eve were provided for. All of the inhabitants of the garden at that time were still provided for. Everybody. I don't know how many people really were there, but let's be honest. If one person screwed it up for everybody, nobody likes that person anymore, right? Y'all ever been, you know, you guys got coaches with teams and stuff. One person messes it all up for everybody. And you wonder why on the movie A Few Good Men, there was a blanket party involved. Well, by the way, he was there because of government requirements. They couldn't weed him out. We had him in our boot camp. And I actually stopped a blanket party one night. I was the preacher. I was the lay reader. You're not going to go go against the guy that prays for the platoon and the drill instructors every night. No. They were some guys that I knew and had bonded with. And they were going to go give something. He was a screw-up. But they couldn't weed him out like they needed to, because he really couldn't cut it. Planting a seed is a guarantee of life by God. Now we can go to this one. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. I plant the kernel, the plant comes up. If I steal from Tim, somebody's going to steal from me. Or I'm going to get caught. If I'm mean to people, it's going to come back. The world likes to call it karma right now, because that's the end thing to do. But it's the world. It's the way that the world operates. The deed you do is a seed. Every one of them. Call your child stupid, they're going to act stupid. If we want the things of God, we have to do it God's way. I love the book of Proverbs because the book of Proverbs tells us practical stuff to live by. Do not promote yourself. Do not go in as a guest and sit at the head of the table. You wait to be seated, or you sit down where you is the lower spot and wait to be moved up. And I know it sounds like I'm kind of a petty guy or whatever, but I've been in so many preacher-oriented deals. They're fighting to see who gets to sit at the front of the table. And I knew I was the low man on the totem pole, so I just went down here and sat down at way down here, because, you know, usually the middle of the table is where they put that guest speaker. We did that one time, and we just went in. They said, y'all go sit down. And I said, well, where should we sit? And he said, oh, just take a spot. So we went and sat down at the end of the table, way down here, because we knew there was other people that were closer to the minister and stuff. And what did he do, sit down two seats from us? He came sat next to us. I say that because we weren't looking for the high spot. We just were honored to be there. I'm like, hey, we can hear. But in between me and him was a moron. Had to listen to his statements. Hey, listen. You call a spade and not a shovel, right? A moron is a moron. Don't care if they claim to be clergy or not. Anyhow, my wife is always, honey, you need to, what's the word I'm looking for? Besides, stop. Stop. That's one of them she uses. She's like, you need to, just tone it down a little bit. Quit calling him a moron. I'm sorry. That's what he's acting like. I always heard that it's better to have people think you a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Yeah. And I do that enough, so. If you do good, good will come back to you. Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 7, God spoke to Cain, and he said, if you do good, will you not be, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door. We either do one or the other. And if we do everything the world's way, the world says, you did this to me, I'm going to retaliate. That's what we like to do, isn't it? At least that's the first thing through our mind. May not be what we do, but the first thing is, I'm just going to so hurt you. It's what we want to do. Jesus said, do unto others as you'd have done unto you. That is a harder row to hoe than you think. You know, one of my weaknesses, and I said one, and I will admit to this, is I talk to other drivers while I'm driving. You idiot. What did you do that for? And then the other day, I had the opportunity to do an idiot thing. And I did it. And you don't drive around any county around here with Semper Fi on the back of your window. And I kicked myself going down the road. I was like, why did I do that? Why? I'm the first one that would have said, you are a moron. Why would you do that? And I did it. And you know what? It just goes to show where we can all be a moron. And I praise God that the people that I cut off unintentionally did not accelerate. I was just trying to change lanes. But sowing and reaping are a natural part of this world. It will always be here as long as the earth remains. John chapter 17. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. He's talking about his disciples and his followers. I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be at one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. We want God to take us out of here. That's what everybody's praying. Old Jesus, take us out of here. He said, I'm not praying you take them out. Without us, the world doesn't stand a snowball's chance. No matter how hard it gets for us, the world hates us. Mammon hates us. It is the natural order of things, because when Adam and Eve did what they did, they set all of that against us. Think I'm kidding? Ladies, childbirth without pain. Men, you were all farmers. You could go out and plant, and briars wouldn't grow up. The burdocks wouldn't grow up. Weeds didn't grow in your fields. You plant an orchard, pests didn't infect it. No need for sprays, no need for fertilizers. It was all natural. It happened. But when Adam sinned, nature was set against us. But that you should keep them from the evil one. I beseech you there. Oops. I went as far as I was supposed to. He is not taking us out of this world. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. And that's why it doesn't like us. But we still have to have jobs. We still plant seeds. We still plant trees. We still move dirt. We still do all that stuff. But it is not our God. It should not be our God. We should establish once and forever, this is where I'm standing. I'm not moving. And when people will get that and they will stand, you'll see the world come back around. But that's not going to happen in our lifetime, I don't believe. Because I do believe we are the generation that will see the return of Christ. I believe that. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean I'm not trying to make preparations for when I get older. I know so many people, all Jesus is going to return before I need that. I don't need Social Security. I don't need any kind of retirement. You know, I know people that actually were saying that, and they're old. They've gotten old. Made no preparations. You can't do that. Well, you know, I'm just going to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. I'm going to live la vida loca. I'm going to do whatever I want. Spend all my money. That's why you don't have anything. Well, brother, I'm living on faith. But you still live in this world. So you still do have to make some preparations. You understand? I'm not saying that when you live by faith that you just walk away from what is. You are in this world. You are part of the system. The farmer is part of the system. The contractor is part of the system. The mechanic is part of the system. You have to do your part. But living by faith is saying, God, I trust your word more than I trust the world. So you have to be able to stand. You have to believe that he is in order to please God. Romans 12:2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Paul is telling the Romans, it's only reasonable. I'm not even asking you anything extreme. He said, it's reasonable that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart. See, the sacrifices were without blemish. If the lamb came in, it couldn't limp. It couldn't have one hair that was odd color. These lambs were inspected. And I got to get a drink because I dried out. There were shepherds who their job was to raise sacrificial lambs. And so these things were all inspected. The doves were inspected. Every feather had to be the right. It couldn't be missing. They couldn't be blind. They couldn't be sick. They couldn't be lame. None of that. They had to be perfect. Paul was not saying we need to be perfect. He was saying we need to present our bodies to God, living according to what the word says, separating ourselves. So we step away from the sin that so easily besets us. And do not be conformed to this world. Again, you don't have to do anything to conform to the world. You don't. Just quit going to church. Well, it's not going to hurt anything. I guarantee you, you get weaker. I know from experience. I did it. I lived it. And I'm here to tell you, I'm a whole lot stronger now than I was then. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not think as the world does, but transform your mind. You know, I know I've used this example before, but Transformers, the show, the cartoon, the toy. Optimus Prime, he's the leader. He's a semi. Cool voice. But as a semi, which is what he was created, he can only do one job. He can't defend mankind the way they're supposed to. He has to transform. His weapons are hidden until he transforms. And I don't know that if they can speak until they transform. But only when they're transformed can they do what they're supposed to do, what they were created to do. And then they are larger than life. They don't look like an 18-wheeler anymore. They're this massive protector with rocket launchers and machine guns and lasers and capability of flying and jumping and doing things. As a semi, all they can do is drive through a wall. But they can protect man. They can do what they're supposed to when they're transformed. And that's us. We can't do what we're supposed to until we transform. Our mind is one thing. But when we get the word of God with it, and we understand the word of God. That's why Paul told Timothy, seek, look into it, and rightly divide it. We have to go in and look at it and say, okay, this is what God meant with that. Because there's so many things preachers in particular have twisted to try to make them something else. God's way requires a renewing. Adam and Eve had a different mind. Sin separated them. The world or mammon's way of survival is its own. I'm looking out for me. I'm not thinking about you. I'm only thinking about me. And here's the other way it comes out. I'm just this way. This is what people are, this is the famous thing for today. I'm born this way. And I'm not even just talking about the transgender stuff. I'm talking about I'm angry. I've got a bad attitude. I'm jealous. What else do I got on here? I'm a liar. I'm a cheater. You have to renew your mind. If you do not, you will remain those things. Well, you know, brother, you know, Jacob was a cheater. Yeah, he was. Deceiver is what his name meant. Jacob was not transformed. And God despised that so much, he changed his name to Israel. We have got to make sure that we're transforming our mind to the Word of God, not to the opinions of the day. Judges today are not using their right deciding ability. They're worried about the way of the world. If I don't rule this way, I will lose my job. I would rather lose my job than to have to stand before God and say, yeah, I just didn't have the cojones to do it. I just couldn't say it because I feared their faces. Isn't that what Levi, or Aaron, I'm sorry, Aaron said? I feared them. You should have seen them, Moses. You should have seen them. They were angry. They made me make this golden calf. No, they didn't. Only Moses was chosen to be the leader. Aaron, if anything, was ever given to be a mouthpiece. Aaron was not the judge. Aaron was not the leader. He didn't know the word that was coming down from the mountain. Why? Because even Aaron rejected it. Aaron himself rejected going to meet God. Did anybody figure that out? There was only one other person that went on that mountain. Joshua. Is it any wonder that the Hebrew name that was given for Jesus is Joshua, Yeshua. God is able. We cannot fear what people think, what people say. You know, they're talking about you right now anyhow. You know that. Because you're different. And if you're not different, then why aren't you? Why aren't you being different? I'm not saying you got to be out there shoving the word down their throat. Personally, I have always found that actions tell me you're a Christian more than you preaching at me. Y'all ever notice Jesus didn't do that? He didn't go down the street with a Torah in his hand, all rolled up. And, woman, you two-timing hussy. Of course you're not with the husband. You've had five. He didn't do that. He just said, no, you're right. The man you're with now is not your husband. He didn't judge her. Well, you should know that the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. You sinner. I've worked for guys like this. And you wonder why your crew is always rotating? You wonder why nobody wants to work for your company? Oh, and by the way, did I mention how big of a thief he was? Tells everybody else to be honest. Here, I'll wrap up this with this. I found a Craftsman set of channel locks one time. Okay, found them on the road. Picked them up. Think, woohoo! Got them home. Man, they don't work right. They're Craftsman, right? All my tool guys. Are you warranted or is the tool warranted? The tool is warranted, not you. They don't keep track of who bought that wrench. And I said, oh, you know, I found this wrench on the road. Oh, now, Art, you need to be honest with them about that. What? The tool's warranted, not me. I've given my son some tools. I gave Joshua some old Snap-on things that are 40 or 50 years old. But guess what? They're warranted. And I'm not even the original owner. They're still warranted. Now, they fight trying to warrant them, but all my Craftsman stuff is warranted, but not because of me, because the company said that's warranted. So, see, that guy did that, and then he turned around, and I won't go into his discretions, but he was not an honest man. And very religious. I do believe at one time in life he really did find God, but he wasn't able to find God's love and mercy and wasn't able to equate that over to people, least of all his own sons. We will only please God when we start living by faith, which is believing that he is, and we're going to get into that, but looking into the Word and finding out that our faith. Yes, you can pray for a new car. Did you know that? He said ask. He just said ask. You know, you guys, you're believing for somebody to come and be able to finish up your house over here, right, from the storm. And I know what it's like because getting hold of somebody right now after that is a nightmare. Start asking God more. I mean, we prayed last week for it, but you ask God. You don't have to extend a bunch of faith out for that. That's not what the faith was for. Just ask. He said ask. He's your father. He's your good, good father. God's not waiting there to smack you just because, you know, God, I need a new car. Ask. He said, you ain't got it because you never asked me. You know, it'd be one thing for my kids to come up and, oh, Dad would never do that. Dad will never let us have that. Dad will never let us do this. Did you ever ask? Dad might have done it with you, no matter how stupid it was. And I've done a few of those things. And, well, we all ended up with some bruises and scars to prove it. But we're going to please God by our faith. We're going to serve God by our faith. Like I said, we're going to get more into that. We're going to get more into the real sowing and reaping. Everybody's still running around, oh, it's just a Bible thing, you know. This, it's all about money. No. No, it's not about money. We'll get into it. All right, let's stand. And by the way, God will bless you, though. He will bless you if he was the one that told you to do it. You got guilted into it? Yeah. That's your own fault. Well, that preacher took my mom's all her life savings. Did God tell your mom to give that money to that preacher? Well, he was on the TV. You know, it's got a button that says on and a button that says off. Turn it off. You give when God tells you, and you will be blessed. And then you can, and if you're so blessed that you just want to keep giving, you can keep giving. But don't you go complaining. Don't dig up what you did. Like I said, we'll get into it. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you and we praise you for your word. Father, we thank you that the changing that we're doing is happening. Lord God, each and every day we're drawing closer to you. Lord God, I know everybody really does want to diligently seek you. So, Father, speak to them. Father, with every little step they make closer, speak to them. Draw them in. Lord, I thank you that you are not a God who's just looking to smite your children. Lord God, it does not bring you any honor to destroy your people. But Father, it does you honor to show mercy and grace and extend that love to them, even when they have fallen. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my life in those areas. For I would not be here without that. So now, Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, I bless those who are at home. Lord God, I bless them. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving mightily in your people. Lord God, that you're bringing them opportunities, Father. And may they seek your way with these opportunities and move towards them, Lord God. When the door is open, that they will step through them. In Jesus' name, amen.